on with OTV.
Podcast One presents Off the Vine, Great Therapy. Caitlin Bristow is going to answer your questions, drink to your confessions, and hear what you have to say about anything Bachelor. Let's shake it up some more. Here's Caitlin.
Welcome to Great Therapy. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow. My guest today was actually on the podcast almost exactly 3 years ago, which feels like a lifetime ago. She's back today by popular demand with the Vino's demand and my own. Even though I'm a very open, sex positive person, I still have a lot to learn when it comes to sex. And I think that became pretty clear on a recent pod with Jason, where we talked about role playing and I got called out for kink shaming. But kink shaming, no more. I'm here to educate myself and educate my listeners with Emily Morse. She is a sex therapist, expert, and host of the very popular podcast Sex with Emily. She has been called the Dr. Ruth of our generation. And today we're getting into role play, sexual fantasies, sex myths, and facts and fictions. And she answers a bunch of questions from my Vinos. You guys really came through with some good cues that, I mean, I was kind of wondering some of them myself. So glad we were able to have this convo. And I think you guys will really enjoy it too. So here's Emily.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. It's good to see you.
So good to see you. Did you know that it was almost 3 years ago to the day that we did a podcast?
No, it's been that long.
Isn't that wild? Three freaking years.
Yeah. I think you were just starting maybe, but congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. Yeah, that is like I was just starting. It was new to me, which is so wild. I love that I have you here again today because, okay, actually to start off, why don't you just tell everyone a bit about yourself just because if they didn't listen 3 years ago, there's any new listeners, but I feel like everyone knows who you are. But
well, Caitlin, I love your listeners because even though it was 3 years ago, I hear from them all the time. But like, I heard you on Caitlin's podcast.
I heard you have great
listeners that apparently like both of our content. So
that's great.
No to your listeners, but if you may, I'm Emily Morris. I have a doctorate in human sexuality, and I work with Sex with Emily. I'm a host of a podcast, a radio show, a soon-to-be-out book. So really, my platform is all about getting people to prioritize their pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex so there's no shame in your sex game.
I love that. And that's why we're here today, is because I am guilty of shaming people, and I feel so stupid, and I feel so terrible because I'm 100% sex positive, and I realized that it was my own insecurities coming out. So wanted to address that. I think a lot of people held me accountable, which I love, and that's why I love this community. But I was podcasting with my boyfriend, Jason, and we got into a hypothetical situation about role play. And I think I was personally just confused on what role playing was and what it means, because basically, I said ew, and that people weren't confident if they were doing that in their relationship. But I've definitely learned a lot since that happened and realized it makes people more confident in their relationship, if anything. So yeah. I wanted to hear you explain. You're the expert. So hear you explain exactly what role playing is to you and what that looks like. I'm sure it's different for so many people, but
everybody. So Kayla, let me just say this first off. This is what I love about you. I think what everyone loves about you is that you're so real and transparent and authentic with whatever you're going through. And I mean, that's so common. So you saying ew is, this is what, why I will always, why I'm so passionate about what I do, because we often don't hear people talk about sex. Right. And then whenever our partner brings up something about sex, our first thought is, I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. You want me to change. It's because you want to sleep with my best friend. Like, it's just, it's because we don't have experience, and we don't have sex education in this country or most countries. And we are also threatened. So that's why I want it to be normal. So normalize the conversation. So it would make sense that you were like, ew, because you went to like, oh, like, why am I not enough? Or why do you want me to be someone else? Which I hear this every day. So I get that your listeners are holding you accountable, but like, if you don't beat yourself up, because this is what I do. So role playing, when we're talking about role playing, the cool thing about role playing is that it's definitely for couples that are in a secure, confident place. Anytime you want to try something new, make sure that you guys are talking about your sex life. You're on solid ground. It's like when people say, oh, we're going to have a threesome to spice up our relationship. That's the biggest mistake in the world, because you do it because you want to share a new experience together. Right. And role playing is the same exact thing. The thing about role playing is that it works for you because it's like exploration of different roles and power structures and personalities. And so the fun thing about role playing is that you get to assume a different personality. You could come in as like your alter ego or a kinky, you know, I don't know if it's kinky, like maybe it's like teacher student or like some of the things, like, I guess it can just go to your deepest desires in a relationship, or even if you don't have deep desires about this. And sometimes it's kind of taboo, but you get to step outside the routine. So you've been with Jason for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And so it allows you to sort of get out of your head and play a character. So why that's fun is because A, you don't have to be like in your normal body with your normal insecurities or concerns. You get to create a fun new like play with your partner, and then you get to show up however you want. So if it's like a, let's say, teacher student, so maybe you're more submissive in the relationship. Maybe you're like, oh, that'd be hot to be spanked. Like, mm-hmm. Let's say you had a spanking fantasy. Then you could just say, like, Jason could be your teacher and be like, you were late for class again, you know, and then you get to wear this hot schoolgirl outfit and show off your legs. That's just like one common example.
Right.
But I feel like the reason why it can help so many couples is because then you can overcome your inhibitions. Like, let's say you're like, I've always wanted to be spanked, but I would feel embarrassed to ask for it. But if I'm a schoolgirl and I've messed up, then it can kind of let us test out other scenarios that we might be too anxious or embarrassed to ask for otherwise.
Right. See, my problem is I think, well, like everyone, we all have insecurities to work on, but I think I would like not be able to take myself serious in that. And I would feel like almost silly doing that. But I've thought about this so much now, just from the conversation, that I've realized that these are my own insecurities, with one, me thinking, does that, like you said earlier, does that mean you don't want me? Are you fantasizing about someone else? Not really understanding what role playing really meant. And two, it was more like, I don't feel like I would have the confidence to go in and be someone else or put on this costume. I feel like I'd just start laughing, which makes me feel really immature.
Right. Well, look, Caitlin, you're hitting all the hot nerves that come up about this. Everybody's like, well, it's weird. I'm going to laugh. Oh, I'm really going to pretend that my boyfriend's delivering me a pizza and right. I'm the woman, I'm the wife at home. Like, that's silly. But that's the thing about role play is, yeah, you laugh and it's funny and then you just keep going, or you don't. But you're not supposed to be an expert when you're trying something new in the bedroom. But what happens is we do the same things over and over again, and then we want to try something new to spice it up. And so think of them as like a new skill set. So yes, you might laugh and it might be awkward, but then you just kind of move through it, or you just try again, or like you just kind of get into it. Because the other fun thing is the sexy stranger. So a lot of my listeners have done this one, and this is like the easy one to do, I think. Because mm-hmm. then you say, hey, I think it'd be fun if we show up one night or at a bar and we're different and we come as we meet as strangers. Because then you could pretend, hey, what's your name? Will you buy me a drink? And then you just start kind of like getting into that. Like, what would I do if I was on a first date with him right now? And then who would you be, Caitlin? Like, is there a part of you that's, I don't know. Like, is there, it doesn't have to be a schoolgirl or anything traditional, but like, even if it's like your middle name, like, oh God, I wish I was a doctor. You're like, right. Maybe I'm the one that went to medical school. I'm the Caitlin that went to medical school, or I'm that Caitlin I was in college, or I'm the, you know what I mean? Or I'm like my sister who I love. So I'm going to act like my sister right now. Not my sister, might not be hot, but it's like a friend that you have.
Yeah.
It's like acting, but it's also in the moment. And I don't think anyone's expecting anyone to like to memorize lines and stuff. It's just another way to play. And I got to tell you, to kind of illuminate this example, it was a part of the best advice I ever got. And someone ever told me off the cuff when I told them what I did. I was at Bloomingdale's one night and I was flying somewhere the next day for work. And I was buying some foundation from this woman at Bobby Brown. I'll never forget this. And she was probably like 70. And she's mm-hmm. like, what do you do? And I said, I'm a sex educator. I have a podcast. And she said, I have the best sex advice for you ever. And I was like, okay, like bring it.
She's yeah.
like, I've been married for 30 years and I have a closet full of wigs. And she's like, so sometimes I just throw a wig on and I'm somebody else, even if she's not doing different roles. And she's not, she's like, I feel different. I am now blonde today. And I'm going to like take on this persona, even if it's for 30 seconds, then her partner sees her as herself, but now she looks different. She mixed mm-hmm. something up. And so that's the takeaway I want people to get about role playing. It's not like you need to come on as a whole new persona. Some people love that. Some people just want to wear something fun and sexy or be goofy. And that's really what it is. It's about variety.
Now back to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
I'll never forget you saying it's like going to the gym. You just got to get your shoes on and then do it. Once you get into it, I'm sure that the laughing and the giggling and the other things go away because you're so in the moment.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You are. And okay, I'll give you an example. This happened to me. So my lover and I have a few lovers right now, but one of them.
Oh, get it.
I know. I got this massage table, right? Which I've been wanting to use. My friend gave it to me because I think it's really hot to get a massage. Like someone's receiving only. So like I lay down on the table and he's giving me a massage and then I'll do it for him the next night. Mm-hmm. Great access to all the body parts and you can use a massage candle and it's really fun. And so he knows that I have this thing about like hugging up with a masseuse. And so he tried to bring it in and he was like, I was working really late one night. And then I went outside. He's like, come outside when you're done. He's like, you have three things to do. He's like, you have to take off your clothes. You have to grab your wine and you have to like go to the bathroom or something. I was like, okay. Cause I'm so ADD. I was like, I would clean the house and do all these things. Yeah. Okay. So I go outside. I do all those things and I get outside and he had this whole table set up and he had like the music going. He's like, okay, well, will you take off your robe now? And I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, okay. He's doing the role play thing. All right, I'm in. And so I'm like laying down. He starts massaging me and he's like, so ma'am. And he got this weird, he did it in like a weird way. He did this like accent. Like, I'm like, you're already doing the masseuse, but he's like, ma'am, would you like to flip over? And I just started laughing because I don't remember what he said. I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, do you want a good tip? And then we just started doing these funny, like, yeah, I'll bet you want a happy ending. And it just, even though he did all this effort, we were laughing so hard and made it really funny because there was all these funny jokes to make. But then like, and then I went back down, he's massaged me and then we got back into it. And he's like, does that feel good? And then we just, and then we got back into the play and then, and then it got hot. And then I was pretending that I was going to like, I kept going in and out of character and we laughed, but then it worked out. And now I remember that as like one of the hottest nights I've had during quarantine.
See, now that I could get down with the masseuse and the, okay.
See, right. Yeah. Like that's the dual masseuse. Like give me a massage and pretend that you're giving you secretly touch my side boob and I don't push you away.
Right. And it's nice because that gives me permission to also be able to laugh or like in my head, I'm like, I have to be in this character, but no, you can go in and out and you can laugh and you can still have all the fun.
Exactly. Just like you do anyway, because I've listened to you and Jason, you guys are so fun. You tease, you play, you know each other. But this will be the same thing that you're like, even if you were the schoolgirl, I'll use that example, and you were over his lap and you're like, yeah, really in third grade, you know, one time I did lie that the dog ate my homework and then he starts laughing. And then you're like, okay, but lay back down again. It's just, it's sex. This is the problem with sex is that we have this image of sex is that it's always amazing and magical. And there's rainbows and there's the rainbows and there's the whatever, the, what are they? The fairy tale. And it's, I'm telling you, that is not how sex is like 99% of the time. It's maintenance. It's you're with someone, you love them and you're going to have sex because you care about them. Are you in the mood? Probably not. Nope. You got a million other things to do, but you do it. And usually you feel better for having done it.
Right.
So you can bring in a toy or once a year, you're a masseuse. He's a masseuse or, you know, I kind of listed some other things that are kind of funny here, but that we could play with. It could be your favorite Halloween costume that you still have in your closet. Like, oh yeah, this one year I was Poison Ivy. So will you be, what do I have here? Batman. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and then it's for 2 seconds. It's fun, but you have a lot of layers on that night. So he has to slowly undress you. Right. So you just make, you add variety because why we get so bored in a relationship is because we just are stuck in a routine.
Why do you think that is that we all have this image of it? I know we talked about this 3 years ago, but does it go back to that unrealistic expectation from porn that they put out there? Like, what is it that we, why do we have that image in our heads of what it's supposed to be?
Well, it's such a good question. I mean, okay, so we can start with porn. I think that porn, and I don't knock porn. It's
convenient
to watch with a partner. Mm-hmm. But the problem with porn is that for kids who grew up maybe with like, or people grew up with like an iPad in their hand or digital, they digitized generation. You literally, the first sex you ever saw was when you were like playing Candy Crush and all of a sudden like a porn showed up and you're like, what is that, mommy? And then no one ever really tells you. They might say to you, oh, don't look at that. That's dirty or that's for when you're an adult. But no one tells you that porn isn't real. So porn is scripted. Yeah. These actors are cheating towards camera. 99% of the porn you watch is created for men by men. So from the male gaze. And it's not an actual blueprint for how we're supposed to have sex. It's like, I watch porn. I'm like, he's nowhere near her clitoris. Her leg There's no, that's not hot.
Like, logistically, this is not happening.
She is not happy. She's waiting for lunch. So I think that there's so much misinformation with porn that no one questions it. So then the second point is there's no education out there. And we feel shame when we talk about sex because we either, A, we feel like we're not pleasing our partner if they have to have a sex talk. Mm-hmm. Or we feel like we're not doing enough. Or we feel like we're bad and wrong if someone brings up sex, or we don't know what to say when our partner says, like, what else do you want that feels good?
Right.
Or what do you want to try in the bedroom? What's your fantasy? A lot of us don't have fantasies, or we don't even think about it. So then we feel inadequate. So I think it's all this ways that sex is still shrouded in mystery. So I think, and the third point is that if you grew up in a home where it was repressed, where having the sex conversation wasn't like mine, where it wasn't okay and it wasn't free and there was no information, you don't all of a sudden become an adult in a relationship and feel really comfortable talking about sex. So right. We don't have practice.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people grow up thinking like it, like you said, you think it's wrong or you're bad or you're in trouble for doing it. And you grow up thinking that when no one or not a lot of people have actually just felt comfortable talking about it with their family or their mom or their dad or whatever, to talk about it in a way that it is okay, that you're allowed to feel good during it. Because that is a really tough conversation to have with family members sometimes. But on like the other hand, growing up, who else would you talk to about that you feel comfortable with? But right. I just remember, I'll never forget, my first boyfriend ever, we were young, like 14 or something. And he had wrote me an email saying that it was time that we had sex, and I didn't want to, and I wasn't ready. And my mom saw the email though, about him saying he wanted to have sex with me. And I don't think she realized that I wasn't ready and I wasn't going to do it no matter what. Like, I just wasn't ready, but she just was mortified that this guy at this age was wanting to have sex with me. And it was, I mean, she'll probably feel so guilty if she listens to this, but it was more like that is wrong. Like, you don't do that yet. And as I got older, she actually did get more comfortable talking to me about it and how it's not wrong, because I think she saw as I grew older, I would come to her with everything. So right. She would see that I came to her and felt like sex was wrong. And I think that's why I turned into a more sex positive person, is because it did become more comfortable
right.
for me to talk about.
This is Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
One of my questions was how people can grow more comfortable with their sexuality and being open to it. And yeah. when it comes to sex, is that something that maybe listening to a podcast or?
Yeah. I mean, I've got thousands of podcasts. I've been doing this for my 16th year now of doing podcasts. I know that's crazy. Lots of episodes. I have a great website, sexwithemily.com. I have tons of posts about masturbation and self-love, but also, so that's one thing. I always say it's education is the first step. So just educate yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, besides porn, where else can you get sex positive information and see that you're not alone? Be that friend who talks to your friends about sex, you know, bring it up with your sister, your brother, or even your mom. I mean, I think that we, again, it's something that we don't do because we've never done it. But I think if you go to your, whoever's in your family and say, like, I realize we never talked about sex.
Right.
You know, that it becomes more comfortable over time. So that's part of it. And then the other thing is, it would be like education, exploration with people, you know, and with your body too. Start to explore your body. Like, what's your views on masturbation? I mean, so many people feel shame around that too, or they think if I'm in a relationship, I shouldn't have to masturbate, but masturbation is part of being healthy sexually overall. So I learned more about my body and how to be a great lover by spending time alone with myself.
Figuring out.
Because then I knew what felt good. I was like, my body's fucking awesome because I can do all these things.
Yeah.
And then I can show that to a partner.
Yeah, so exactly.
So I think it just comes from practice and exploring and education.
Yeah, I think you're right. I had that written down, just, you know, even for people who aren't in relationships, there's still all of the ways to feel more comfortable sexually with yourself, which would probably, that's where it all starts.
It does. And we're so externally focused, like, how does my body look? And am I doing the right moves for my partner? So like in heterosexual relationships, I don't know about you, but I was raised to believe, or in society, that like sex was more about performance. Like, how am I giving a good blowjob? Do I look sexy when I'm on top?
Which gets you out of the mood because you're just in your head.
Yeah, exactly. And most of your partners want to see you truly turned on and truly in your body. And so if you can do it when you're alone and you're looking in the mirror masturbating, or you're like, God, my body is like amazing. Look at what it can do. It takes some practice. But the more you just get to know yourself, you'll just feel more comfortable. Because if we walk around all day, we might even walk around all day not feeling great in our bodies, right? So maybe we're like, oh, I gained weight, or I'm not sexy, or I'm stressed. Why do we think that we should just all of a sudden then get naked with a partner and feel great? Like, right. You know what I mean? If we're all day long, we have negative talk to ourselves. It's just, it doesn't serve us.
It's so hard because I feel like I don't ever like putting like labels on it's men this way and women are this way, because it's not always like that.
Right.
But I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, men are able to just feel ready to do it, where women need to be a little more like buttered up or be in the mood or feel comfortable and not tired. Like, it's more emotional. And for men, it's like kind of like that's just a routine for them to, you know, they need to release.
Yeah, you're right. And I don't love to like gender stereotype either.
Yeah, but neither.
One area that I will is that for like a cisgender male, so born as a male, someone with a penis, and then you got a cisgender female, what I always say that men are frying pans. And women are slow cookers. And what that means is he's ready to go. He sees you. He's Caitlin's like, you look so hot. Come on. I'm ready to go. And you're like, I didn't even see you walk in the room. I'm finishing the text, email. I'm not in the mood, because we want to be warmed up. We need maybe we need a massage for 10 minutes, or we need you to tell us that we're hot, or ask about my day, or we need the buildup and the anticipation. And that is the most normal thing in the world for women. And it's our job though to realize that we need to understand, well, what do I need to get there to be in the mood? Because men have something, so the frying pan thing is a spontaneous desire. So this is what we call it in the sex world, is that so men typically have a spontaneous desire, meaning he spontaneously sees you get out of the shower and he's turned on. It's like that. Mm-hmm. Women are responsive. We responsive desire, typically. We respond to stimulate. We respond to you coming in and like touching my hair slowly, or kissing my neck, or taking out the trash, or like gift, or like whatever, you're cleaning up the house, being on time, you know, like whatever your love language is, you might need that for 15 minutes or an hour or a day to feel safe and to feel like you're ready. Mm-hmm. You might need to the pressure off you. So like when my partner's like, he knows that I'm so like on Friday at 5, I'm like fucking spent. Life is so busy right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, if I give her a killer massage right now, and he just threw in the masseuse, that was just kind of a fun thing.
Yeah.
I will 100%, like, if I don't have to do anything and I can lie there for a half hour and just get into my body. And because the thing is, when we're stressed and we're thinking about the day, it's really hard to switch gears. So we're just talking about, like, what do you need? What do we all need to be? And I know I need to shower. I need to like time alone after work. I need the break. I need to just get in my body, have a glass of wine, do whatever. And then I'm ready. But otherwise, usually I'm not. Yeah. So it's just,
I'm the same way with the shower thing. I can't, like, he's like, what? Let's just go. And I'm like, I want to feel clean. I want to smell good. Like, I feel better after a shower. I don't know what's going on down there.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So that's it. That's why I always have wipes by the bed too, or something. But I'm the same way. It's like, then they start to know that too, because then then you're in a dialogue, because then he knew, he's like, I know it's Friday. Cause we've tried in the past where he'd come over at the end of my work day and he's like, let's go. And I was like, I just got off 9 hours of Zoom. I'm not ready to go. And that didn't work. And then I got like annoyed and angry. I was like, I can't just go to party mode. And like, so he knows, he's like, he heard it without me even having to say it. But for many of us, especially if you live with a partner, you've been with them a while, now you might know. So I ask everyone to take a beat. You know, when are you the most turned on? When is like the surefire thing that you are ready to go? And then work backwards from there. Okay, well, I want to have sex with them on Saturday night. So I know that I need to have shaved, worked out. I need to have the house has to be clean. I need to make sure, like, if you have kids, the kids have a babysitter. Just what are all the things that have to line up? And then communicate that to your partner. Like, talk about it.
Yeah. I think it's important for, you know, that things do have to line up for certain people for that to be able to happen. And because you obviously your partner wants you to enjoy it. And sometimes you need to have those things in order for you to enjoy it. That must be hard for you to talk about that all day and then feel the desire and energy to do it yourself.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's like, oh God, yeah. But mostly I'm burnt out by the talking about sex than I am. But it doesn't, I actually still get inspired. Like even talking to you about this, I was like, oh, I need to give him a massage back. Now he wants, like, I'm just like, I'm like, yeah. What do I do to him now? Because he did so much. So no, I'm always like, I love what I do. And it's such a big part of people's lives that mm-hmm. I actually don't, I more just get burned out with the business of sex than I do talking about it.
That's so true.
Yeah. I love it. I love how people have a moment where they're like, huh, okay, I haven't thought about it that way.
It's I always love talking to you and listening to you speak on it because you do seem so passionate and you're so knowledgeable about it. And before I get into some questions from listeners, I wanted everyone to just know your website, when your book is coming out, your podcast, all of those things so that they can be more familiar with you.
Everything is at sexwithemily.com. I release 2 podcasts a week. You can subscribe on all podcast platforms. I have a show on Sirius XM Radio 5 nights a week that will be starting up again in a few months. I'm on hiatus right now. The book is Hot Sex, and my social media everywhere is Sex with Emily. And you can always send your questions to feedback@sexwithemily.com.
You're listening to Off the Vine, Rape Therapy.
So questions from listeners. They were very excited you were coming on the pod. So Kelly asked, tips for ladies that are really tight down there. She said, I never want to have sex because it hurts. I get zero pleasure out of it and I'd rather do other things. And I actually did have several people tell me and have questions about painful and uncomfortable sex.
I'm glad you brought this up, Caitlin. This is so common that women experience. Really? It is probably one of the most common questions I get asked. And so many women silently suffer through painful sex. And they say like 80% of women at some point are going to have pain, and some women have it all the time. So what I would recommend for her is like, she doesn't have to live with painful sex. I would recommend that she go see a pelvic floor physical therapist because what they do is a lot of women naturally walk around clenching their pelvic floor muscles. So like, you know, your Kegel muscles.
Yeah.
They're like those pee stopping muscles where you stop and no one ever remembers to do their Kegels, but you're supposed to strengthen them.
Yeah.
Some women clench all the time and it could be from like a trauma that happened or something in childhood or anxiety. And you're constantly walking around like this, that when anything goes inside of you, a tampon, a finger, a penis, you have pain. And unfortunately, a lot of our medical professionals, like even gynecologists, are not well versed in it. And I have a lot of friends who've been going through this lately and thousands of listeners literally who have had this question. And we don't have enough information on this for women. So I say a great place to start is a pelvic floor physical therapist, and you can find them probably through your health plan. And they're game changers because you go in and they like put their fingers inside you and they can kind of watch how you walk and see how you stand. And they go inside of you they with a glove and they can kind of feel if you're tight. And then if that is the case with her, they send you home with dilators that kind of look like phallic, like dildos or just these penis. They don't look like, you know, they're shape of you. And then eventually they're small and then you have it for 15 minutes and then you might, the other one, you go to a larger size and it starts to just kind of unwind the nerves that are tense. And then she can start to release it. That's just one thing that could help. And then if that doesn't work, she can guide her elsewhere.
Okay. That's really good advice. Okay. This was also a common one and I'm sure you get this all the time, but Nicolette asked, what is a normal amount that couples should be having sex? And are you against the word normal in that context?
I even use normal with you today. I don't like, the only thing normal about sex is that we all have questions about sex, that we all want to know what's normal. That's the most common question I get is if it's normal. So I'm not going to answer the what she asked for how many times a week.
Yeah.
It's like, there is no prescriptive. It's more like what works for you and your partner.
Yeah.
So to follow that is that the majority of questions I get are like one partner wants it more than the other. And I would say that in every relationship, the majority of relationships, there's one person who has a high libido, higher sex drive, and one who has a lower sex drive. And typically people don't match up when they are the same because I don't know why, this is just how it is. And so the good news about that is that she gets to decide with her boyfriend. Okay, let's say he wants sex every day. Let's say he's like, babe, I want it every day, twice a day. And she wants it twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they have some problem solving to do. Then they get to decide, okay, well, maybe we should do it 3 times, 3.5 times. And then we should figure out which days of the week to do it. Like, should we do it on Saturdays? Because that's when we're both least stressed. And then you start to think about, well, when am I in the mood? And all the things I've been talking about, because I won't say like once a week is great, twice a week. I think once a month isn't enough.
Right.
I'll tell you that. I think once a week seems pretty on average after couples have been together a while. What I think works is, you know, maybe more than that, but we know life gets busy. Things get in the way. You have kids, you have life, you have work, you have stress, you have a pandemic where you can't stand each other. Right. So it's like, there's a lot of factors. So I will not put a label on, but I would say decide in your relationship what works for both of you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Rachel asks advice on how to overcome low libido from birth control. Or just in general, I guess.
Yeah, well, low libido is really common. And also from pills, the antidepressants are huge killers of our sex drive and birth control pill. So I recommend a book called Beyond the Pill by Jolene Brighton. She has a whole amazing network. Follow her Instagram. Go to my podcast, Sex with Emily, and search Jolene. She's been on my show a few times, and she talks about, and also Elisa Vitti is another great resource. It's V-I-T-T-I. These women have created incredible platforms that are all about women taking control of their cycles and understanding what turns them on, what doesn't, what foods to eat, when to exercise, when not to. You know, our women have these cycles, right? Our hormonal cycles, which are gifts to us. And if we start to understand them, then we'll know exactly, like, there's times a month we're more in the mood, times of day, times of the week, and it changes month to month. And it's just fascinating. So, and I've also done podcasts with both of them if you want to get a precursor to their, or you want to just get a big overview of their information.
Okay, that's incredible. Lots of resources there. That's amazing. Okay, Nicole says, I could use some tips to spice things up in a marriage after two kids. One of us is always tired.
Having kids is not always the best thing for your sex life. Couples are going to have to take a beat and figure out who are we now as parents. And then two kids, you are tired. So I would say definitely make sure you have a date night and it is non-negotiable. You have that babysitter. They come every Saturday and the two of you go out and there's no talk about kids. There's no phones and you just get to reconnect again as a couple. That's really important. Also, scheduling sex is important. Like I said, people think it's so not hot, but especially when you're married, if you know that Saturday night's your night, then you get to like look forward to it and you get to like do all the things you need to do to be in the mood for sex. Trying new things. I mean, like we're talking about variety. It's just what, buying a new toy. Hopefully you're using lube, dressing up, doing my yes, no, maybe list. I have this on my website. I have this list. It's called the Yes, No, Maybe list. And people are just loving this list. It has about 100 different sex acts on it. And you look at it and it's like, is spanking a yes, a no, or a maybe? Dirty talk, yes, no, maybe. And it's like things like cuddling, taking a bath together, yes, no, maybe. And then you see like, where are yeses? Where are maybes? And then you get to kind of look and go, when should we try that? And then I have another thing called the Pleasure Planner. These are all like free resources on my site. And the Pleasure Planner, couples can download it, look at their life. Like last year, what was the most pleasure? This year, what can we do that gives us pleasure? And then you start to plan out your year and say like, oh, let's write erotica together. Let's give each other, you know, let's take a bath. Let's talk dirt. Let's just like live our first date. And you just start to plug in the things that make you both hot and turned on. So
that's cool too, because it forces you to just think about those things and talk about them, which in the end probably results in more sex anyways.
Exactly. I'm like, everyone's exactly. That's it. Like, it's like, I always tell people like, blame me. You were listening to the show. We're going to do this fun game together, whatever takes you outside of the awkwardness, because it will be awkward, to help you facilitate a healthier conversation is what I'm all about.
Absolutely. Jordan asks, how do you get over intruding thoughts that make you not reach completion?
Yeah, that's really, really common. Is Jordan a man or a woman? We don't know.
I'm not sure. No, I think she's a woman, but she said she also wants to know, for my gay ladies, besides strap-ons, what are some fun toys or other ways to spice things up?
Okay. So I would say that anxiety, because completion is like having an orgasm we get in our own ways. When we can't have an orgasm, it's typically because maybe if we rule out medication, because we're in our head, we're anxious, we're wondering, is it going to happen? And then we block ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so the most important thing to do is I would say it's helpful to have a healthy masturbation practice and start to figure out like, when do you get in the mood, what kind of moves do you need, what feels good to you, and then explain that to a partner. Like, we don't have to solve our sex problems alone. We can say like, hey, I realize lately, babe, I'm having a harder time finishing. It might be helpful if you go down on me more, if we use this toy together, if we take a vacation and get out of town for a little bit. I'm just really stressed out. I got to calm my nerves. So I think the answer specifically, though, calming our mind during sex takes, it's mindful practices. It's doing meditation and knowing how to go back to your breath. When I have worrying thoughts during sex or anytime, I try to go to my breath and the moment. And I try to look at, I try to engage my five senses. So let's say she's having sex and she's in her head. I just try to go, what am I feeling at this moment? Like, oh, I'm feeling my partner's body against mine. What am I smelling? Okay, I'm smelling that vanilla candle. Like, what am I tasting? Like, I'm tasting my partner's lips. And then when you engage all of your senses, what am I hearing? You are immediately dropped into the present moment.
Yeah. That's good advice. I feel like I do that in every other aspect of my life. When I'm trying to be in the moment, I use those five senses. So why not use them during sex?
Yes. Do you really? Like when you're performing or?
Yeah.
That's it. It works.
Yeah. That's if I'm trying to fall asleep, like so many things I use it for. Anxiety. Yeah.
That's no, advice. I know. Same. It's, we, a lot of us have anxiety, right?
Yeah. I think we all do at this point. And she also wants to know, for the gay ladies, besides strap-ons, what are some fun toys or other ways to spice things up?
Oh my God. I love toys. Okay. So honestly, spice things up. I would say get some really cool finger vibes. This company named Jeju makes a vibrator that connects to your finger, and then your finger kind of becomes a vibrator. So everything by give your partner, I'm really into massage these days, if you can't tell. Yeah. Awesome massage oil, and just like blindfold your partner and just take your hands with like a vibrating massager on it and just practice with different sensations on their body. Tell them that you're in charge and you're going to make them feel good in this moment, and like let them sort of experiment with different, if they're blindfolded, then everything else becomes more heightened. Like whatever you touch them with, you get a warming lube. You could get some ice cubes and drag it over her back. And then toys, gosh, I love my vibrator necklace, the Vesper. I have it right here. It's a vibrating necklace. It vibrates. It's rechargeable, waterproof. It's actually not charged right now.
Wow.
So cool. I should get you one of these, Caitlin. It's called a Vesper and it works. Like I use it on my partners, on myself. It just is like a really powerful vibrator. And I'm usually wearing it every day. Gosh,
that's amazing.
So then you always have it on you and you can tease them. Oh, another great thing is WeVibe makes this thing called the Moxie, and it's a panty vibe, meaning you put in your underwear and it sticks with a magnet, and there's an app that you can use to control it.
Oh, no way.
And your partner can control it. You go out for a date night and they're controlling the vibrator. You could do this with Jason. It's really fun.
That is fun.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun? I did it the other night.
I could get down with that.
Yeah. I just did it with my partner. I'm trying to think if I still have the vibrator on me to show you, but I don't.
I'll
send you stuff.
Is it small?
It's like this big. Oh, it's called the Moxie. It's like the size of my palm.
Yeah.
And it looks like a panty liner, but it's a vibrator and it's powerful and it's so cool. And you just wear it and then, and we'll be out to dinner and he's just like, and he just starts, and no one knows that it's happening.
How can no one know? I'd be like,
right. I mean, I tell people cause it's funny, but if you're at a restaurant or with your parents, I don't know, whatever you got into. But that's the thing about taboos. Going back to your earlier thing, it's like we just sometimes we have these kinks, things that turn us on. Maybe it's getting caught. Maybe it's doing something that's sort of, you know, not accepted, socially accepted or kind of dirty that, no, it's our secret together. And that turns you on. So exploring those things safely is just a fun way to keep it interesting and hot.
Safely is a good keyword there. Safely, yes. And then last question. Christina wants to know how to get turned on again after a dry spell. A lot of the vinos are feeling the stress from this year and can obviously that can affect the sex lives. But I think that's kind of, it's like tying everything that you've already said together.
It is. It really is. How do we, a dry spell? I mean, it's really just from sex begets sex. I'm going to round it up with masturbation because honestly, the more that we give pleasure to ourselves, if you're in a dry spell, buy a vibrator, start playing with yourself, start to be in your body, start to look at yourself and get connected with your body again, because it's not so much about the other person giving that to you. I don't know if dry spell means she's single and ready to date again or even in a relationship, but mix it up. Start to, like, there's times where I'm going without sex or seeing my partner, and it's like the more I give myself pleasure, the more my, it's like, again, like working out, the more your comes routine. Because when we take, we like a dry spell, go back to the gym example, I would say that the, it's like going to the gym, that once you go like a week for a week, it's much easier like the next week. But when you, when you're not going for a while, just really like, you're like, oh God, I got to start over again. So just keep your pilot light lit. You know?
So true. That's so true. Okay. And then one quick game before I let you go, it's just a sex fact or fiction. First one, all women can reach orgasm through
penetrative sex.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, no, it's good. False. Only 20% of women do.
Really? Oh, interesting. Okay. There is a big age gap between women and men's sexual peaks.
False.
Oysters and chocolates are aphrodisiacs.
I mean, aphrodisiacs are open for interpretation. If eating an oyster or chocolate makes you feel sexy, then that's great. But,
but is there any like science behind it?
There isn't really any science behind it, except for that there are some properties that can stimulate some hormone, but it's like you need to eat like pounds of it. And I don't think that buying oysters is going to solve your problems, but they are kind of sexy.
I feel that. Okay. Fact or fiction, men think about sex every 7 seconds.
I think that's I think there's some fact to men think about sex more frequently than women.
Yeah, maybe not every 7 seconds, but probably a lot more than women. Okay. Menopause is not a sex killer.
True. It is not. Nope. Just starting for some women.
Lubrication is generally intended for older people.
No. Lubrication. I want a lube on every nightstand. Use lube for every sex act all the time.
Okay. Why is that?
Because I'll tell you why. Because women, this is another one of those misunderstandings that we have, mm-hmm. is that lube has gotten a bad rap. People think, oh, it means that something's wrong with me because I'm dry, so I need lube. And then your partner thinks, well, my penis wasn't big enough, so then she needs lube. Like we all right. think, right? But what we don't understand about wetness is that women's bodies change at different times a month. So different times a month, we're more wet than others, different times of year, like as every year it can change, and our hormones and medications and the foods we eat. So adding a few drops of lube to any sex act makes sure that we are well lubricated, which means we're not going to have tearing and drying and pain. But I should also tell the woman who has pain earlier that she should use lube. Mm-hmm. But it also indicates that like there were studies that came out that said when you add lube to any sex act, women are 80% more likely to orgasm. Mm-hmm. So masturbation, every time, just use it. You will, get over your stigma, put it on the nightstand. It's going to change your life.
Okay. I like that. Fact or fiction, sex is one of the biggest indicators of a happy and satisfied relationship.
I'd say it's one of the top indicators that if you're having great sex, you're going to be in a good relationship, but not the only one.
Right. But it's up there. Okay. And then last one, fact or fiction, sex can be pleasurable even without an orgasm.
Yes. True.
You said earlier, you're like, however many times a week, like three and a half. And I'm like, what's a half?
It's a massage. Maybe it's mutual masturbation where you both get off, but you don't have penetration. Or maybe it's one person, maybe it's just, I don't know, oral.
There you go.
I was trying to be fair, but I think this is what negotiation.
I like that. 3.5. I was like, that's so great. You are so informative and you have so much to share. And I just love talking to you. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know that all the listeners are going to really look forward to this one. And it was one of my highest rating podcasts 3 years ago when you came
on. Caitlin, yes. I'm so happy to be back then because first of all, I adore you. I think you're doing so great work. I follow you. And I think that I told you, your listeners really like responded. So we should, we'll do it again anytime.
Yes, absolutely. Let's make it not 3 years between the next one.
Exactly, Caitlin. And hit me up if you want to, if you want me to send you some things, I will.
Yes, I do. I want that necklace. I want the panty liner, whatever that thing is called again. Yeah,
dude, everything. The Moxie by WeVibe.
Yes. Okay. I will hold you to that. Thank you so much. And was there anything else you wanted to share before we go? No,
communication is lubrication.
Yes. That's okay. The best way to end this podcast. Thank you so much. And I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Okay. Bye.
I'm Caitlin Bristow. Your session is now ending.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy. Tune in to hear new minisodes every Thursday and check out new full-length episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?